how would your life change if you were an exceptional communicator? How do I deliver more value than anyone else in my industry, even if nobody pays me? And the second one is, for the people who never pay me, what value can I deliver them so they still tell their friends about me? And these are questions that I find a lot of direct response marketers don't really think about. My why is really helping the next Elon Musk. You know, when Elon Musk was 15 years old, he didn't know what communication was. Nobody gave him a communication coach. Well, the next 15-year-old Elon is probably in India. Might even be a girl. Might even be in Cambodia. Who's helping that girl? So the random word exercise is really simple. Pick a random word like light bulb, like tissue box, literally anything. Books, wife, husband, pick any word. And create a presentation out of thin air. And what's great about this is that it helps you with the following. If you can make sense out of nonsense, you can make sense out of anything.
Your superpowers?
Kindness, whenever I can. Not perfect.
Hello, fellows. Welcome to the next episode of Jagged with Jasravi. Subscribe to my channel for conversations at the edge with thought leaders from the branding, marketing, and the business world. Conversations that ignite new ideas. Ideas with rough and sharp edges. Hi, Brendan. So nice to have you on my show.
Jasravi, it's great to be here.
Thank you for the right pronunciation. It's a difficult one. Okay. Brendan, if I requested you to tweet your profile, what would you say?
If I tweeted from my profile, what would I say? I would say, be insane or be the same. If you want to be like everyone else, that's totally fine. But if you want to do something important with your life, you might as well be a little crazy. That's what I would say.
Oh, nice. Little crazy or like go all out?
We'll start with a little bit and then we'll go all out later.
Yeah, cool. Okay. So, Brendan, I went to your YouTube channel and I was listening to your conversations, and they are so easy to follow. You make it so simple, although it's such a talent, but the principles that you share, the pointers that you share, and then you demonstrate it, it's so impactful. So we will talk about public speaking in a bit, but initially tell me when you started. Now, from one fellow content creator to another, share some secrets with me, please. How did you grow your channel? You know, when you started, what discoveries did you make, you know, as you started creating content?
So let's start with the story of how this all began, because it was mostly an accident. So when I was in college, I went to business school and I did these things called case competitions. Think of it like professional sports, but for nerds. So while other guys my age were playing cricket or rugby or footy or some other sport, I wasn't one of those guys. I did presentations competitively, and that's how I learned how to speak. But then as I got older, I started coaching the students in those programs so that they can do better at competitions, mostly for free back then. And I didn't really know what I was doing, but that gave me the insights to start Master Talk, because I realized that everything that I was sharing with the students wasn't available for free online. And that's what led me to start videos, especially for a lot of the community in India who don't really have access to these free resources on how to communicate ideas. So that's the story.
Interesting. So as you were growing your channel, you're creating content and you're engaging the audiences. Are there any principles that a marketer can learn from for brand building, for brand engagement? Because today that is the biggest challenge in brand buildings. It's like, sell later. If you're talking to your consumer five times, maybe three times or three and a half times, you just to engage, give them value through your content, right? So any principles that a marketer can learn?
Absolutely. A couple I can share happily. So the first one is, when we think about our personal brand, we need to think about it in the context of decades, not days. I find a lot of people are too short-term focused. They go, what's hot right now? TikTok's really hot. LinkedIn's really hot. All this is really nice. But they don't really ask myself, or themselves rather, who do I want to be in 10 years? What do I want the brand to be in 10, 15 years? And that's the biggest piece, is consistency. Most people lose their personal brand because they aren't consistent enough. And the reason I've been so consistent for so many years, you know, I've been doing this for 3.5 years. I've been coaching for 7, but I've never missed a YouTube post since I started. So I think that's the most basic, but yet the most important. The second one is the idea of conversations. A lot of people are too rung up on follower count, but follower count doesn't mean anything. What matters is 1,000 conversations, not 1,000 followers. So this conversation we're having right now is way more important to me than just somebody who just subscribes to the channel, because this is a real connection. So if you meet a few thousand people one-on-one, one at a time, bit by bit, those people will distribute the content for you for free if you have a strong mission. And then the last thing that I'll share is quality is sometimes more important than quantity, especially in the context of YouTube. You know, YouTube is like being in the NBA, right? You're competing against the best content creators in the world. So if you are going to create content, you have to ask yourself, why would somebody watch me versus somebody else? What is an angle? What is an insight that I have that nobody else does? And in my context, in my industry, most of the speaking coaches are really boring when they communicate on camera. So I bring a lot more excitement and more practicality.
Right. Awesome. So consistency, think long-term. Now, thinking long-term is something that doesn't come naturally to human beings. No, it's difficult to. And also in today's times when, Brendan, things are evolving fast and, you know, there's so much change. So people want to reassess where they're going, and they're like, okay, that, you know, today I have to respond to what's going on out there to be relevant. And, you know, and that cumulatively will become something or not something is another thing. But you're saying consistency, be out there for the same thing, for the same mission, perhaps, that you have set out for. So what is your mission? I'm curious.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to share. So for me, my mission is to help every human being on earth become an exceptional communicator. That's my end game. So in your context, which I appreciate, I love that angle you brought there, is that the idea is there's two types of content creators. There's current events content creators that are always adjusting their content based on the day-to-day that's happening in life. And there's the other content creator, which is more evergreen, which is, even if I create something today, in 5 years, people will still watch the same thing because it'll still be relevant. So I think it's all about up to us to figure out what we want our strategy to be. Mm-hmm. That's why having a long-term view on our brand, even if we're changing our content all the time, is still very important. So let's say in my case, communication is going to be the same thing in 20 years, 30 years. Maybe the mediums of technology will change, but the tips remain the same. You still got to remove your ums and ahs. So for me, almost all of my content strategy is strategic. It's evergreen. And I create my content years in advance, so I don't have to think about it. I can focus on the business. But I would say the big piece of advice, and also going into my mission, and that's why I stayed consistent, especially it took me 2.5 years to get to 10,000 on YouTube. And obviously, it's grown a lot ever since then. But I would say the my why is really helping the next Elon Musk. You know, when Elon Musk was 15 years old, he didn't know what communication was. Nobody gave him a communication coach. Well, the next 15-year-old Elon is probably in India, might even be a girl, might even be in Cambodia. Who's helping that girl? Nobody. So that's my mission.
Great. So as an influencer, Brendan, how you built an engaged community?
So I would say there's a great article that people should check out. It's called 1,000 True Fans by a guy named Kevin Kelly. So I'll repeat that again, 1,000 True Fans by Kevin Kelly. It's a very short article. And what Kevin essentially argues is that you don't really need a lot of people to make a living with your creative work. You only need 1,000 people or 100 people or 200 people, depending on what you do. So in the work that I do, because I charge a lot of money to my executive clients, I don't actually need 1 million people to follow me. I need 100 people to pay for my stuff, and I can use that money to help everyone else. So I'll give you an example. Let's say somebody spends $500 on you every year. They go to every concert, they go to everything that you do. Well, if you have a few hundred of those people, that's it, you make a living. So I would say for me, what's helped me a lot in community is really having those one-on-one dinner conversations with the people that were following me. Because obviously when Master Talk started, I was 22 years old. I was broke. I lived in my mother's basement. I still live in my mom, by the way. Right? I didn't really have any resources. But 7 people were following. 5 people were following me. But instead of ignoring them, I would have dinner with them and say, what else should this YouTube channel be? What ideas should I put here? And they were the ones who were supplying me a lot of the ideas. A lot of the people I used to coach at university. Mm-hmm. And then they became a member of my community. And they said, well, this mission matters. What Brendan's doing is actually good. It's not terrible stuff. Let's share it with all my friends. But then 10 turned to 100. 100 turns to 500. 500 turned to 5,000. And then the rest was history. But you need to start with that small bottom-up approach.
And depth of relationship and authentic connections, perhaps. That's what you're saying. So I think Seth Godin talks about this article a lot, the 1,000 True Followers. So, Brendan, what can marketers learn from this? Because... they're thinking sales and conversions eventually. And, you know, so this is like a means to an end, not an end in itself. But how should they view it? Perhaps they should look at it differently. Because a 100%. Lot of community building, Brendan, ends up being about me, like the brand. And they have to make an effort to say, okay, what does the consumer care about? Like just like how you described on a dinner conversation, you figured, what does my follower want? So how can brands do that well?
Yeah, I would say in the context of my work, I'm a lot better at personal brands than company brands. But I think what I would say is in general, the question, the prompt that I always think about is one, how do I deliver more value than anyone else in my industry, even if nobody pays me? And the second one is for the people who never pay me, what value can I deliver them so they still tell their friends about me? And these are questions that I find a lot of direct response marketers don't really think about. They're too quick on the sale. Whereas, and a Gary Vaynerchuk, I think, is the best example of this, is when you focus just on the brand and you do it for long periods of time, it won't benefit you short term, but you do this for 10, 15 years, then you become the goat of your industry. And that's really something that's powerful. And for us to focus like that, we need to just look at the success stories. Just look at the most successful brands on the planet. All of them played a long game. And to build on Seth Godin's point, there's another concept he talks about that I'm a huge fan of, which is the smallest viable audience. Mm-hmm. A lot of us focus so much on the bigger picture, the tens of thousands of people, instead of going, okay, who's the smallest group of people that I know for sure needs what I have? And there's a great piece on this by Ali Gaddett. He says, when you help one person, Jazz, the world, right, will give you permission to help everyone else. So you need to find who are those 100 people. I knew my content was going to work, very simple. Not because I knew I was going to get 10 million followers or any of that stuff, but because the people in my one university, I knew they were all going to watch my content and that was reason enough for me to do it.
Mm. Yeah, a lot of conviction and belief is also required. A lot of clarity in the area of your own value. Like where would you focus? Even if it evolves, but I guess the broader area is clear. So public speaking, Brendan, what is the biggest challenge with public speaking?
Absolutely.
And when you started talking about it, about how it happened for you, like when someone asks for me, because I also think it's there in the genes somewhere. Isn't it? Like it's there in the family, like some sort of oratory, etc. Was that for you? Because I have family, where people were public speakers, and I was in awe. And then came a point in time, and I discovered that I can go on just like that, and I enjoy and I love it, and because of the interest, I develop it. So what is the biggest challenge? But I still would like to know. I don't think I know. Yeah.
Absolutely. I like what you said at the end there, Jazz, where you said the interest helped me develop the skill. So I definitely think some of it, not all of it, a very small percentage of it is born. Like, I'm not going to lie when I say, like, yeah, it was all made. But I do think most of it was made. Like, just to give my story a couple of seconds here. You know, I'm born and raised in Montreal in Canada. And in Montreal, you need to not speak French. Except I didn't know the language. So my whole life, not only was I stressed out about presentations, I was presenting in a language I didn't even know. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is I have a crooked left arm, right? Because I had a surgery when I was younger. So it's really hard for me to make friends. And even when I keynote today to all the amazing companies that I do that for, I got a crooked left arm. Right? So that's the second one. And then the third piece is, you would think that a communication expert studied communication. I have a bachelor's degree in accounting, right? So I definitely think that anyone can be a great communicator. But having said that, the reason that most of us don't become great communicators is because of the education system. That's the struggle. And let me paint the picture. All of the presentations we learn in school, which is where we present the first time in our life, have three main problems to us. The first one is all of them are mandatory. We don't wake up one morning and say, hey, you want to get breakfast and present all day? Nobody says that. So that's one. Number two, all of those presentations are different. You never get to pick the topic. It's always talk about Shakespeare, talk about Narendra Modi, talk about the history of India, talk about something. And you're just like, okay, well, what do I get to pick? And the third one, which is the worst one, Jess, is every presentation is tied to a punishment. So if you don't do a great job, you get hit in the face, which means we learn growing up as kids, right, to think that communication is a chore and nobody wants to get better at doing the dishes.
Wow, isn't that amazing? I think so many problems, the source would be our education system. So I, despite my school system, want to develop great public speaking. How should I start now? Or, I mean, how should I start encouraging my son, for example?
Absolutely. Great question. So what do we do about this? The first thing that we need to do is change the languaging that we have around communication. Because whenever we think about communication, we think fear, we think stress, we think anxiety, and that doesn't help us. So instead, I have another question. The question is simply this. How would your life change if you're an exceptional communicator? You know, a lot of us dream about our businesses. We dream about our follower count. We dream about our family, vacations. When was the last time we dreamed about our communication skills? And the answer for most of us is never. So spend 10 to 15 minutes and dream a little. Because the truth is, communication affects every area of our life. It's the way that we talk to our family. It's the way that we order food at a restaurant. It's the way that we meet strangers when we travel. And when we realize that communication helps us lead a more fulfilling life, then we get more excited to practice it and we bring the right energy to the table.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes just because you're communicating well, you can change the situation. You know, you can totally turn it into your favor. You completely transform how everybody is looking at the situation. I mean, without it, I mean, none of our leaders would have created what they created or given the value to the society if they were not great communicators. Yeah, awesome. And so the struggle with public speaking, you've told us that there is fear. We've not put it in right perspective for young people. And from the very beginning, the interest towards it has not gotten developed because the child is not choosing their own topic. They don't want to talk about it. So they have to then learn and you know, they never develop the right relationship with it, perhaps. So now with what you told, that can change everything from your relationship, your self-concept to how you, you know, move about in the world. If they had to practice, if you had to give some practices, some simple daily practices to start, what would that be?
Absolutely, Jess. I call this my easy threes. So if you implement the easy threes, it's going to be simple to just get started right away. So let's start with number one, the random word exercise. So the random word exercise is really simple. Pick a random word like light bulb, like tissue box, literally anything, books, wife, husband, pick any word, and create a presentation out of thin air. And what's great about this is that it helps you with the following. If you can make sense out of nonsense, you can make sense out of anything. So do the random word exercise a few times a day, and in a month, you'll be a master at this. That's number one. Number two is the question drill. We get asked questions all the time in our life, in our work, in our lives, on a podcast, from our family, but we're reactive to the questions. Somebody asks us a question, we go, oh, like I once got a question a few years ago. The question was, where does the fear of communication come from? I was like, I don't know, San Diego, Los Angeles, you tell me. It's like, I don't know, right? So when we're reactive to those questions, we lose. So instead, we need to be proactive to those questions. What does that mean? That means every day for 5 minutes, write down one question that you think the world is going to ask you. And from that question, write an answer for 5 minutes. But if you do that every day for a year, Jazz, you'll have answered 365 questions about your industry. You'll be unbeatable. That's number two. And finally, number three, so simple that nobody does it, sending video messages to people that you love. Make a list of the people that you appreciate in your life, your mom, your brother, your sister, family members, and send them a video message. Because that chances are, you never have. And it only takes 20 seconds.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's lovely. And the second one that you said, write an answer or prepare an answer for one question every day. I mean, yeah, one could prepare a book.
Literally, actually. Yeah,
a 365 pages book is quite enough. Okay, that's awesome. So write questions, send video messages, and random words. Okay, great. Are we going to do
it.
Random words thing, huh? Like
happy to.
Okay. So for online presentations, Brendan, like in the COVID times, that was a discovery in itself. Now, I think people still haven't gotten the nuances right, you know, like, what do I do online? I mean, it's the same avatar coming online or, you know, and now it's hybrid going on, you know, like suddenly. And mostly in our meetings these days, everybody is off camera. You know, we are doing meetings and everybody's off camera. I'm work from home, so I don't have to be presentable. And, you know, I'm going to present, look at the slides and this home. It's such a different thing from, you know, actually being there and communicating like with your body language, like they say, you know, don't tell the story, show the story and all that. So online, are there any differences that one has to keep in mind while making a presentation? And B, in a group situation, how does it vary?
Absolutely. So let's tackle both. So let's start with online. So there's three differences. The first one is eye contact. When you're in person, you have to move your head to the audience that you're speaking to. But in online, whether you're speaking to one or 10,000 people, the answer is actually pretty obvious. You just look in one area the entire time, which is the camera lens, right? You keep your eyes on that ball. So the way that you do this, put a post-it note, put a picture of your family, put a favorite food, and just always look at the lens, and you'll be fine. That's one. Number two is energy. Let's face it. At the end of the day, if we're in person, it's just more energy. Right? There's hugging, there's handshaking, there's lunch after. It's just easier to show up with energy because of just that human connection when you're in person. So it's hard to replicate that in person. I struggled a lot to bring that energy, especially in a lot of the keynotes that I started doing virtually since the pandemic started. So what do we have to do? We have to bring more energy in person and transfer as much of that energy as possible on the Zoom call. That's the only way to do it. And then finally, number three, audience accessibility. If I want feedback from you, Jazz, let's say I'm giving a keynote and you and 10 other people are there, I could just get lunch with you because it's easy. It's just, you're right there. So it's just, we go and I get the feedback, but there's a lot more friction online, especially when you're on a Zoom call with 11 people. So it's hard to get that feedback. So you need to force those interactions. You need to get on phone calls with these people, or you need to bring those relationships offline. So we pause there. That's for the online piece.
Yeah, it's two-dimensional at the end of the day. Okay. So a group, in a group situation, does that vary? Like if you're presenting, yeah, you actually did include that, right? So if it's a group, Does it vary when you're presenting?
So the couple of things that I'll mention for group. The first one is even when you're not speaking, you're still speaking. So what does that mean? Let's say Julie and Ravi are presenting, right? Julie and Ravi are giving this presentation. And while Julie's presenting, Ravi's just looking at the sky. He's like, oh, you know, I wonder what's for lunch. So what are you telling your audience? You're not talking, but what are you telling your audience? Mm-hmm. Here's what you're telling the audience. Well, Ravi, if you don't care about what Julie has to say and you spent 3 months working with her, then I really shouldn't care about what she has to say. So you need to smile. You need to nod when your head, when Julie says something really cool, you need to pay attention so that everyone else does too. That's the first thing I would say. The second one is take leadership. You're only as strong as your weakest link in a group presentation. If one boat sinks, the whole thing goes with it. Which means if you're listening to this podcast, that means you're the leader. You're the self-anointed leader because you're taking time to actually get better at communication. Most people don't do that. So you need to actually take the initiative and figure out what's everyone's strengths, what's everyone's weakness. And you need to fix that. You need to fix those weaknesses. How? Simple. Give everyone the easiest part. You take the hardest parts. Make their life as easy as possible. Research. Help them practice. Do whatever you can to make them successful. Share the exercise. Share this podcast with them, right? So that they can get the results they're looking for. And then finally, number three, this is very counterintuitive. Not a lot of people know this. Have a system for Q&A. What does that mean? Q&A, otherwise known as questions and answers at the end of a presentation. If you mess that up, you're finished. Because if you start discrediting yourself or other speakers and you're contradicting yourself, it calls into question the entire presentation. So I have a system on how to manage this. I call it the Q&A master. So the Q&A master is very simple. I got this from a group in Sweden that I thought was really good. And basically what happens is, let's say there's four people. One of them is the master. When somebody asks a question, the master looks at everyone else, and whoever has their hands in front of their body wants to answer the question, and whoever has their hands behind their back doesn't want to answer the question. So all the master does is they split the questions between everyone who wants to answer, so they look very cohesive as a team. And then if nobody wants to answer the question, the master does. That's it. Simple.
Wow. It's really a system. And like something that works, trial and error has been done. Awesome. I'm like really letting it sink in. I'm going to implement it the very next time. Okay. So, Brendan, would you recommend, so apart from your channel, is there any book that you would recommend?
Oh, for sure. Sorry, I cut you off there. I would say the book is Thirst by Scott Harrison. Scott's the CEO of Charity Water. I'm a big fan of his work. He helps millions of people around the world gain access to clean water. But the reason I bring up Scott's work in the context of this conversation is because the guy's a world-class storyteller. I love the way that he's practically implemented all of the strategies that we talk about on today's podcast in the context of raising a lot of money for helping other people. And there's a great quote in the book. The quote is, the goal is not to live forever, but rather create something that will. So I highly recommend it.
Lovely, lovely quote. Awesome. So, Brendan, are there any brands that you think are doing a great job of content creation? Your personal favorites?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say Charity Water is definitely one of them. Scott's organization, from a company perspective. I would say from a personal brand perspective, there's definitely a lot. I like what Gary Vaynerchuk has done across different mediums. I really like Seth Godin. I'm a massive fan of him because he's a great example of someone who's been consistent for like 35 years. The guy started blogging at the beginning of blogging and he hasn't missed a day since like 1990. It's pretty wild. I would say he's a great influence on me. I'm a big fan of Brené Brown as well. I love the way that she structures her ideas and her thoughts. But yeah, those are the three that come to mind right now. But honestly, I could list all of them. They're all pretty good.
Awesome. Okay, so I want to know some emerging trends. And so you got to do some crystal ball gazing. Brendan. And I have three areas, you know, understandably. You can pick any one or two, or you can do it for all. So, of course, one is content creation. What do you think are any one or two big emerging trends that could be game changers, or just you like them? Yeah.
Yeah, I would say the biggest one is TikTok, and more specifically, the way that the algorithm is driving. So in the past, algorithm was mostly focused on follower count. So let's say you have 10,000 followers, your content gets shown to 5,000 of them or 3,000 of them. Whereas what TikTok has done differently is interest-based algorithm. So what that means is, let's say you like wine today, and in 2 years, let's say somebody in general, they like wine content. But then 2 years, they change as a person. They start liking watching chocolate chip cookie recipes. Well, YouTube has you subscribe to the wine channel, so it's not showing you the cookie videos. Whereas what TikTok does is it's interest-based. So it's changing the content based on your changing evolution as a human being. And I think that's going to be a big one that a lot of the social media other companies are going to trend towards as well. But it takes a long time to make those shifts in the company.
Yeah. This is huge. And okay, so in influencer marketing, crystal ball gazing, what's emerging?
I would say the biggest one that people don't realize is how small the market is right now. Like, we're just getting started with influencer marketing. This is not even, like, we're in the first inning of this game. I think that's what a lot of people don't realize is, and we're seeing this a lot with ad spend from a lot of Fortune 500 companies in general, is it's moving quickly towards micro influencers in different areas of the world because the ad spend is a lot better than just putting an ad that nobody sees on a banner. So I would say the biggest one is people don't realize how big this market opportunity is and how you don't need to have a million followers. Like, I do really well financially and my YouTube channel isn't that big. So I think that's what people are missing out on is that piece.
Yeah, it just takes me to what we started with, what you said in the very beginning, that it's the deep, authentic relationship. And that's what the brand is trying to piggy bank on, because every influencer, whether it's a micro influencer, I mean, they have built those kind of relationships. Amazing. Okay. And in public speaking.
Yeah, I would say the biggest one for public speaking is hybrid. I definitely think online will live forever now that it's more commonplace. And it's not about going back to in-person. It's about learning to live in both worlds now for the rest of time. Because now it's become a competitive advantage and a work benefit to work remotely. So virtual will always stay.
Okay. So, Brendan, this is your time to... I was going to say show off. So, Brendan, what talent are you going to entertain our audiences with?
I'll do the random word exercise. Give me any word, Jess. I'm happy to do a quick presentation.
Okay. Butter chicken.
Butter chicken. I love that. Do you know what my favorite food in the world is, Jazz? It's not pizza. It's not teriyaki chicken. It's not even butter chicken. It's my mom's cooking. She's Sri Lankan. She makes the most amazing food. That is so delicious. But you know, it's funny, as the years went on, Jess, I always asked her, why don't you make butter chicken? She responds with, Brendan, we're not Indian, we're Sri Lankan. I don't know how to make butter chicken. So I had to go out of my way to find some in a local restaurant and enjoy the amazingness that butter chicken has to offer. But the reason I tell you that story is because a lot of us aren't that resourceful. We desire something like a butter chicken or a cup of coffee, yet we don't find the means to get it, even if our moms can't cook it for us, even if someone in our family can't get this done for us. We just give up. And in the same way we might give up on our quest for butter chicken, we also give up on the quest of our dreams, the things that we want to achieve in our life. And I'm not talking about the butter chicken, obviously. I'm talking about the family that we want to raise. Right, the money that we want to obtain, the travels that we want to go on. So find your butter chicken and don't let it go, because it's so easy to get lost in the mundaneness of life and not enjoy those little moments, whether it's drinking a glass of water every morning or even just enjoying a little bit of butter chicken.
Hey, super.
There you go.
So nice. From the mundane to the profound, you know, how effortlessly you took it. That was lovely. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
And this is rapid fire. We've gone literal. Favorite travel destination?
To Toronto.
Your most often used phrase?
Be insane or be the same.
Mom's pet peeve?
Me not getting married, probably. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. One thing no one knows about you.
That's tough. Everyone knows everything about me. One thing people don't know about me. I can karaoke in 8 different languages.
Oh, okay. Preferred food cuisine?
My mom's cooking.
Favorite superhero?
My mom, probably.
Oh, how nice. Okay, mom's best advice?
Always be generous.
A book you'd like to gift to all your friends?
Thirst by Scott Harrison.
Your superpowers?
Kindness whenever I can. Not perfect.
Okay. What would you tell your 18-year-old self?
I would say keep going and realize that you have a lead in this world, so don't lose it.
Your most inspiring celebrity?
Probably Scott Harrison. Big fan of him.
Okay. What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I sleep pretty peacefully at night.
Okay. What's next?
What's next? Enjoying life. I haven't done that a lot in my life. So there you go. Enjoy.
So it's a wrap up now. And I'd request you to please share any online addresses about your channel. Links will be part of the show notes, but how can audiences reach out to you?
Absolutely, Jess. Thanks so much for having me. So just two ways, YouTube, Master Talk in one word. And for those of you who want to see me live on Zoom, just register for one of my free trainings at rockstarcommunicator.com.
Awesome.
Of course, be sure you're all following Jess. She's doing amazing work and she has a gun, so you better make sure you do it.
Something like a dagger on the ledge. The sharpest ideas always have a jagged edge. I'm sorry to be mean, but did you think the best ideas are going to be clean? No, you can come at me. You can test me because I've taken every idea and I've made it my bestie. I know it's difficult. I know it's dirty. I know it can get a little stressy, but like the best soccer player, the best ideas are a little messy.